Okay. We'll pick up at let's just go back to verse 47 just for a running start. Paul says, the first man, this is 1 Corinthians 15:47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And so we see Paul's giving continuing his instruction about the resurrection. And just so they know that, again, the bodies that we do have now are not the bodies that we will have then. And yes. And he says, we have, just like we have worn these earthly clothes, we will have to take these off and put on our heavenly clothes.
We will gladly do
it. Gladly. And he's, you know what I like in this, in verse 40, just when he compares it to the Adam, he said the first man is of the earth, earthy. And we talked about a little bit about the second things when God always, it's always the second that's the spiritual, the one that he uses. And he says the earth man, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You know, in 45, he says the first man was a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. See the contrast there? He says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image, keyword, of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. When he says, when he talks about the image, you know, that is the word where we get our word icon from. And also another word where we get character from, caricature. There's a multi-syllable word for you, caricature, where it's the representative figure of the true. So when we talk about like Caesar, he says, whose inscription is on this coin? Well, that was it was the icon. That was the Caesar's face on there, and it represented the character of Caesar. And so what Jesus could say, well, whatever this character, the attributes and the qualities that he has, if it warrants you to respect him, then what? Render unto Caesar the things that are his. And the things that are God, render to God. In Hebrews, he said that Jesus is the express image of what? Close. He said he's the express. All right, Hebrews chapter 1.
Of his person?
Closer.
Well, I said being a person. Hebrews what?
Chapter 1. You always play a game when we were younger, when my sister, well, we would say something and you say, you're getting hot. You're getting hot. And you say, oh, you're burning up. In chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, he says in verse 3, who, this is Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. This is when he's talking to the Hebrews, he's telling them that God in sundry times and divers manners spake to the fathers in time past. But in these last days, when he's talking to them, he has spoken to us by his son. And he's comparing him. He says his son, God's son. He said he's the brightness of his glory, which is the reflection. He's the express image. That means
he's the visible. What does it say? He's the visible manifestation.
That's where we get that word, the icon. Mm-hmm. the character. That's what when he said. That's what we talk. Where Philip says, "Show me, right. Show us the Father."
If I've been with you so long, you know.
And he says, "You're looking at him." Now you notice what he said. God is a spirit. You know when he says, "No man has seen God at any time," but Jesus can say at the same time, "He that has seen me, what?
Seen the Father.
He's seen the Father." Now, even in, I'm going to go back too far, even in Genesis, when he says, "Let us make man in our image, and after our likeness." Well, when he, all right, let's go back to Genesis. This is, all this is connected to the resurrection. I mean, this is, no, you know what, we were in D.C. and we were looking at, we went to the Smithsonian Institute. You know, we were just walking around and we went in, and everything in there is geared toward teaching the people evolution. So, and we see all these stages of different men and we're just looking, and I'm like, I'm shaking my head, like, wow. And my wife, she's like, "Boy, they really brainwash you in here, don't they?" And I said, "That's the goal." I said, "That's exactly what." And you see, okay, here's all these footprints, and you know, and they ask the questions like, "Well, what man was this? And what man was this? And this was like 6 million years ago, and this was so many years ago." And then you can put your face in this booth. And they tell you to take a picture. And you take the picture and then you select which Neanderthal you want to be. So.
I want to be the knuckle dragon
Neanderthal. But, you know, I'm thinking that how we go through there with our minds pretty much formed to this. But how many people walk through there who embrace that? And this,
because they don't have any knowledge and understanding to counter it with.
That's right. You know what? I wish, I said this before, I wish I had the intellect to explain this, but I don't. And some things you just go, you have to walk by faith. Mm-hmm. When I say faith, I'm not saying I just believe this is the way it is. Is you take the information that God has given you and you believe it. Now, watch this. You know, we're walking through there. You have all these animals. We're going to get over here to Genesis. You have all these animals. Then we walk here. Here's a little shrew. No, you can put it in your hand. We walk over here. Here's a tiger. And then we go over here. There's a baboon. We go over here. There's this huge elephant.
Woolly mammoth.
I mean, it's just a regular. This is regular African elephant. She's like, "Wow." She said, "That's really huge, isn't it?" I was like, "Yeah." I said.
From here to there.
I said, "Isn't that an interesting transition? How that could develop? Well, you could go this way and be like this, and then it could go that way and be like that." Isn't that a big transition?
And why is it happening today?
So you have to explain that away.
Mm-hmm. All because they don't want to accept God.
All because they don't accept the record. Now, watch. Let's get the record. What does the record say?
It also has another intent, and that is to say, well, this is beyond my ability to comprehend. I just have to trust the answer.
That's the problem.
They're in the face of just common sense.
Where they say, you know what? You can sum all that. I told my wife this. I said, if it takes you that long to explain a step, that's too much. That's too complicated. It's, you know, you have to explain in a discourse how this could be this way and this could be that way.
It's called resting.
Resting, yes. watch. Hey, you know what? This is a good science book right here. Now, here's a man. You can write a paper explaining that, experts, and you can leave there saying, "It's just something's not right about that." You know what I'm saying?
Sort of like when I was sitting in church before I understood about right division.
Something's not right. There's too many loops. There's too many holes.
Contradictions.
You know what I mean? There's too many holes. Now, here's what God says. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. And we've already discussed when he starts talking about when he created the things, that he created them after their kind. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, just flip back to verse 11. 1:11. He says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit," what? "After his kind, whose seed is what? In itself." Now, that in itself is one sentence. God says in cursory, just passing through. He gives you one sentence that it takes thousands and thousands of pages for somebody to refute that. Well, listen, God is not even, he's not even focusing on this. This is part of the story. You understand what I'm saying? He just spent, "I created it. I said, this is what I want, and that's the way it was. I said, let the trees bring forth fruit after their kind, whose seed is in itself." How simple is that? But how profound is that? So you don't have to come down 2016 years later and try to explain how the seed got there. And why does it keep producing flowers after its kind? They all look the same after that. Now, they can cross-pollinate some things and get you some different. But in essence, it's still a what? A plant. So you can...
Get right down to it. Anything outside of this book is just a distraction, right?
Yes.
So if they don't want to be in the book, they're going to find all sorts of little hobbies.
Sure.
How we.
But we live in a society that's been distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I just went to a museum with nothing but distractions. Where it's nothing about creation. Look, but he says this. He says, 11. "And the earth brought forth grass," and verse 12, "and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 21. "And God created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly," what? "After their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." You know what? He says, he used that phrase in verse, when you get down to verse 25, you know how many times he says that after his kind? Listen, we're in it. He says, let the earth Let the waters, let the air, let the ground bring forth these things after its kind, whose seed is in itself. He uses that phrase 8 times.
Seed in itself or after?
After its kind. When you see that number, what?
New beginnings.
Not just that, what else? Karen said new beginnings. What's a new beginning?
Purpose or
re-life? I'm just saying that a new beginning is a re-life. A resurrection. That's why God set this in motion, where things would reproduce after his kind. We just read in Hebrews, it said this, that God, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Well, he set this in motion. He didn't have to go back and check on it, make sure everything is right. When he said, this is the way it is, this is the way it is. And this is the way it's been. And this is the way it's going to be.
What's 8 mean?
What does 8 mean?
That's what
Karen said, is new beginning. It's also that's number for resurrection.
It was like the second Sabbath after the first.
Is a new
day.
Right. It's a, you. Even this, you have 7,000 years of history. Well, the 8,000 year is the dispensation of the fullness of times, where something new begins. You don't know. It's when Noah, the scripture, you know what scripture called Noah, the eighth person. Do you know that? Well, he's called the eighth person. You know what? But he's not. He's the tenth person. Why did the scripture say in one place he's the eighth, but when you count the men together, he's the tenth? Let me rephrase that. Why does the scripture say he's the eighth person, but when you count the men up, he's the tenth person? It's an error. It's a direct contradiction.
No, but you're
going to
explain it, right?
The reason when they use them as the eighth person is because what happens with Noah?
He starts again.
He starts everything new with Noah. Mm-hmm. He takes off Adam and he takes off.
Cain.
He takes off Cain. He takes off. So that subtracts two people right there. And that's how you get him being the eighth person. But a reason I said that, because he uses eight. And how many people were in the ark? It means nothing. Just coincidence, right? That's God. Look, this is something. He just does this. I love it because
everything's methodical and perfect.
It's
time.
You know what? It's just. He doesn't even try. Well, I won't say that. He tries, but he's.
He's leaving his signature.
He wants you to know.
He purposed it. It wasn't just random.
And these are things where you're like, wow, there's eight. There's eight again. There it is again. You're like, wow. Isn't that something? And then when you keep reading, all of a sudden, you won't be looking for eight. It'll be looking for you. Because when you read it, you just see it and you know that there are some things when I'm reading, and he says, you see how important it is where God has, this is something he established back here, way back here. And he's, when we go back to Corinthians,
this is a little off the subject, but this was so neat today. I saw this story where scientists have now captured the moment with infrared when a sperm penetrates or mates with the egg, and it gives off a burst of light.
The spark.
The spark. I don't know, it's just kind of neat. It was just amazing.
Okay, that's it is.
I was kind of like what Philip was talking one time, where a scientist who was not a Christian or a believer at all, and he just went on and on about creation and everything, how it, you know, it started with a great light, and it's probably going to end with a great light. I'm like, well, who do you think the light is? But they don't know.
You know what? You could. We are. Our in the age we are in now, our information is just increasing and increasing and increasing. But the thing is, and this is, I believe, it's intentional. Is the modern day Gnostic? I guess they want to drive you away from creation. They don't want you to think that it can't be that simple. But we just looked at it, and God just, he says, this is how it is. And that's the way it was. And
explain it, because he doesn't want you focused on that. He wants you focused on the resurrection and why.
Okay. Oh, I forgot Genesis. I meant chapter 1. I'm sorry. I skipped that. We went there for a reason. That's chapter 1, verse in James 26, where he says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And he goes on to bless them and all those things. Now, what I want is, when he says he created man in his image, well,
invisible side.
Let's see.
I mean, that, I'm thinking, it's just because I've been listening to him.
She said the invisible side.
The mind, the will, and the emotions. The Trinity.
Okay.
What do you
know what? That's great. That's great. Well, we can leave that. That would be. Watch this. He says this. Verse chapter 2, verse 7. Remember what we just said about the image, right? Mm-hmm. Paul just told you in 1 Corinthians 15. He said we have borne the image of what?
The earthly.
The first man is of the earth. What?
Earthy.
Was he spirit?
No. Well, we have a spirit. So then the three life, or the second, the spiritual follows the natural.
The spiritual follows the natural. Right. He just said it. In almost every verse, he's telling you. But watch this. He says in verse 2, chapter 2, he says, the Lord God, 7, the Lord God, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Now listen. If he has an image, and God says, you know what? Let's make him after our image, after our likeness. And he reaches down in the ground and does what?
Forms.
He forms a man from what?
Dirt.
From the
earth. Earthy.
Yeah. You ever play with Play-Doh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you form it. What do you think he made it? What do you think he made him look like?
Well, you know, I never thought about the look. I was thinking that it was more the moral, intellectual abilities that set us apart from them.
Sure. But right now we're talking about the body.
Okay.
The body image. If that was the case, when Jesus Christ came, why did he have to be like man?
To relate.
Yeah, relate.
He's the second Adam, he's the second man, but the same image. He's still got a body. Now, what James says, I thought you were talking about the other parts. Well, the other parts come into when he said the breath comes in, right? Into man. And then he becomes what? A living soul. That's when all the faculties come into play with the soul. Without the breath of life, this is just what?
Sure.
It's just dirt. That's why he said, guess what? Mud man. And when this comes in, when the breath of life comes into him, then he becomes the man who relates to his environment and to his creator. But he said this is in my what? Image. Okay, let's move. That's not where we're going to stop there. Let's move on.
So you're saying what we see is strictly his bodily image. We're saying he had a body.
He's telling you right there, I formed him from the dust of the ground. And he formed a grown man, a man that looks like us. 2,000 years ago, he looked like us. And every time there's a man born, guess what? He looks like that. When he fell, and he says, and Adam begot a son in his own image.
Seth.
Thank you. But you know what? That's where you, when you talk about all that stuff comes into play.
That's the corruptible.
See, he's not relating to God. Something was lost in the image. That's, hold your hand there. Look at, but the body's still, and it's corruptible. That's why Paul says, you've had this one. You've had the first one like this. Now, look at 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. And Paul's he's talking about the spiritual man. He says, verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, this is the spirit. The 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Oh, 3.
I did say 4, I'm sorry, chapter 3. He's contrasting the Old Testament with the New Testament. And he says, verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn the heart, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the what?
Glory
of the Lord, are changed into the same
image
from glory to glory, even as by the spirit of the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. What image is he talking about? Is he talking about the body? Or is he talking about...
say that he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son? Is that the same image you're referring to?
Hmm. Yes. Now, that's what Paul, when he's talking about this image, must be conformed to what? The image of his son.
That's the spirit.
That's the spirit man. Because what you see now won't be, like you said, what you see now won't be what? What you have then.
Right, because we can't see his body in the sense that, like where it says, as we're beholding the glory of the Lord, we are only beholding him through his word.
Right.
Through what we know about his character and all those features, and not through what his body looks like. The people that love his body think about a man with long hair.
Right. You know, and how far off are they? How far off are they with that? Yeah. With that character, right. Caricature.
They're still worshiping the earthly ministry, like his earthly presence. It's like you're taking away all of his power just
by looking at this. Right. By looking at this. Where he says, in John chapter 1, and he talks about it. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And he said, and the Word became what?
Flesh.
And dwelt among us. Now, it wasn't just the body that they saw and beheld the glory. It was, like you said, it was the character that was manifested in that body, through that body. And he says, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Father. He says, no man has seen it any time, God at any time. He says, but the Son hath declared him.
Full of grace and truth.
Full of
muscles and pimples.
Right. Not long hair. And
which is also why 2 Corinthians 5, we're told, though we've known him in the flesh, we thus know him no more.
That's right. Now, we can, even those
nor
things.
Know each other.
Right.
Know each other. No man. You know, when he uses that passage where. That's where every meeting, most believers hear about the Jesus who walked on the water, who healed the sick, raised the dead, all those things that he did in his earthly ministry, and they put those acts high up on a pedestal. And that's what Paul was saying. He says, though we have known him after the flesh, hey, all those things that you are familiar with, what he did, he says, yet henceforth know we him no more. So when people say, you don't believe God can heal. You don't believe God's casting out demons. You don't believe in those things. They're like, sure I do. I just don't believe they're happening today. Mm-hmm. And they're not relevant today because what he did on the left side, on the right side, what he did, it was for a purpose and for a time, and it doesn't count anymore. You can lead a man to Christ and establish a man in Christ without ever talking about the things he did on earth.
That's right.
Long as you put that cross in there.
So, are you saying that I can no longer at Christmas put out the baby Jesus in the manger?
You can put out that baby.
You got liberty.
Right.
You got a right to be wrong.
That's right.
You have a right to be wrong.
That's right. So, but look at back to Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians. So this spiritual man, and that's what Paul said, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day he gets closer and closer to his confirmation or manifestation. He gets closer and closer.
Well, as our physical bodies are deteriorating, just with the normal process, is that entropy, age, and whatever, this renews that spirit man. Mm-hmm. So there's a daily renewal going on.
That's listen. When he says, when the seed is in you, right? It's in there. All you have to do is be planted.
Activated.
Huh?
Activated.
That's all. When you plant that seed, and you know it's going to bring forth after its kind because he just told you that's the process. Didn't he?
Yeah.
So the first seed, like Jesus says, you must be born again to Nicodemus. He's like, huh? You mean to go back into his mother's womb and come out again? And he's like, oh. Nick. He says, are you a master in Israel and you don't know what I'm talking about? He said, that which is born of flesh is what?
Flesh.
So there's a seed in you that is coming up. And this, when this dies, like I said, that's the fertilizer. That seed is coming up after its kind. And it just so happens that that kind is the spiritual.
That's why the Lord said to the leaders, you're of your father, the devil. When they were trying to say, we have Abraham for our father, they were focused on the earthly. And he said,
it's
which,
wrong but seed.
Your father is of the devil.
So, but you see how we walk around and we should have an expectation of the spiritual man to come. Do you know that every culture, as they, well, I would say every culture, most of them, knew there was an afterlife? And they would make things or draw pictures to associate those things with fruitfulness, like eggs or flowers or seeds. They knew that. They believed that.
Is something that occurs to me as you're talking about that path we're on of dying. But the whole picture is death, burial, and resurrection. And so like Karen said, we're dying every day.
Right.
But we got to be buried in order for the new seed to, what do you call that?
That's what he says. A corn of wheat, except it die and be planted, then it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Well, that's why Christ was what? He was crucified, he died, he was
buried,
and then the...
On the natural side and the spiritual side, because the natural side, our bodies... are corruptible, and then we take on incorruptible flesh, and then our on the spirit side, it's like the old man is crucified with Christ, and so it dies then, and then the new spirit, the new man takes over too, right?
Which is why we have a dual nature right now until our adoption.
And they always battle it.
You know what? That's one of the reasons when Paul talks about in Romans 6 where he says that this process, he counts it as already has having taken place, where he said you already died with him, you've already been buried with him, and you've already been resurrected with him.
That's your position.
And he said this is what I want you to do. I want you to live.
And it's already happened.
Yeah.
The resurrected life. And you can say that, well, that didn't really happen. That was just positionally. And he's like, wait a minute. Did you not read those verses? He says, likewise, like Christ, when he lives under God, he says, likewise, you do it. You do that. But you know why he said this? Because he put the seed in you. He said, don't tell me that there's no life in you because I put it in there. Like he said, hey, wait a minute. Now you won't get there and say, I can help myself.
And he put it in there. We got to live it.
He's going to say, who are you telling me that you can help yourself? You can tell me that you wanted, this is what I wanted to do, but he knows what's in you. So he says, okay, 1 Corinthians, he says, 49, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, this is the sole purpose, well, for you to have a new body. Is that key word right there where he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is a spiritual realm we're going to, and your body has to be equipped for the reign, for the rule and the reign and the position that you will have.
We're the disqualified new, in this position.
Disqualified. And the I was looking at something that was you ever notice where, like animals, where when they're younger, they start off and their glory, so to speak, is really not present. For example, when they're in the womb, some of them are hairless. A lot of them are. They're not fully formed. When they do come out, it still takes a while for them to mature. And sometimes they are not mature until all their hair grows, or all the appendages that they need to function develop. Well, we're no different. The spiritual man, as he's being renewed day by day, well, the resurrection is when he'll be fully, Paul calls it the adoption. When you finally get everything you need to function.
But you're on the trajectory.
Yes. And like I love that verse in Philippians where he says that he will change our
vile
body to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Whereby he is able to subdue all things unto... Subdue what things?
Old nature.
Huh?
Old nature.
Old nature? Mm-hmm. He didn't really have that problem. But...
The usurper.
Yes.
Think about it.
All things is all things.
Yeah, all things.
The temporary.
He's trying to get us to say one thing.
No, that's, well, you know, I'm just,
the
temporal to the eternal. Yeah. Okay. Think about this. That body, it was not subject to the laws of gravity, not subject to time, not subject to death or dying anymore. He was not subject to any material limitations. And his body is fashioned, a glorious fashion, where, think about this, when he was resurrected and they meet him at the tomb and he says, wait a minute, he says, don't touch me yet, for I have not ascended to my Father, to my God and your God. He says, I haven't gone up yet. And I don't know the exact time frame, but he was able to ascend to the third heaven and come back in very short fashion and walk in that room where they were
and let them touch him.
In less than a week. Let's say that. Is that subduing the laws of speed and time and physics? Is it? And he says, that's what he says, your body is not suitable for that yet.
I was listening to Dorothy this morning. He said that, he was talking about the earthy body and the change. And he said, even now when men, through their science policy so-called, are determined to breach the bounds that the Lord placed, the open firmament versus the closed firmament, that they have to suit themselves up in a suit so they take this atmosphere with them.
That's right.
Because we're confined.
It's different.
Yeah.
They were showing whatever that movie was, The Martian. Was it The Martian?
Where the guy was trapped.
Where, he's trapped on Mars. Was it Mars?
Yeah.
So, and he's stuck in the little enclosure there.
Yeah.
Not the Lord. He's got to stay inside this little hut thing, and he's got all this. But the Lord, all his life is contained. It's not.
That just brought the problem. Maybe it's totally off where a lot of times I hear that we're God,
that's right. That's a in the sense that he's little G. In the sense where this is how important this is. In the sense he used that term that you're gods, he was talking about this. He says, "Have I not said in your law?" Is not written in your law that I said you are gods? And he says, if he said that you are gods to whom the word of God came, what God did was he raised up that priesthood, the Levites and the scribes, and he gave them his word. They were representing him. And they became, by proxy, gods. Little G. But think about this. How important it is that he entrusted you with his word. So much so he entrusted them with that word and he changed their title. He said, you're a God. He sent Moses to, remember when he sent Moses to Pharaoh? He says, now I have made you a God to Pharaoh.
To Pharaoh.
To Pharaoh.
Because you have my word and you are to present it to Pharaoh in my stead. Now, Paul said this. He says, now we are ambassadors in Christ's stead as though God did beseech you what?
By
us. We pray you in Christ's stead.
Be you reconciled.
What does that make you? Besides an ambassador.
A representative.
You can say, you know what? You're like a little Christ. You can say, well, Christ couldn't be here today, and I'm his representative. That's what when Jesus showed up, and they says, he says, I'm the Son of God. They knew exactly what he meant, and they didn't like it. They said he maketh himself equal with God. Let me ask you this. If you're made the righteousness of God, how righteous are you?
Righteous. All the way.
In Christ.
How much? If
the righteousness of Christ, we have the righteousness of God in Christ.
Okay, so what is that? How righteous is that?
God's righteousness, the righteousness of God.
So you're just as right as what?
You feel set up.
Am I? Can you embrace that? Can you believe God when he says that? You've been made the righteousness. Look, God says this. God says this. He said that. That's my righteousness. That's what you got to have. And you say, I can't make that. He said, no, I'm going to give it to you. He said that. He said, that's you. What? He said, that? He said, that's you. How about that? Yeah, what?
I said you got left off.
There you go. You know what? Because he's made us that.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? You don't have to worry about, you know, am I, if I'm saved, am I going to stay saved? Can I stay saved?
Yep.
Even when I watch that old junky stuff on TV?
Yeah.
Take the Holy Spirit with you.
Yeah.
He said, you are made the righteousness of God in him. Now, if he said this, now, if he did all that, now, and you're still here on earth, he says, Romans 8. If he did all that to make sure this process is intact, right? If he did all that to make sure that your inheritance is intact and you got what it takes to get there, he said, if he did all that, Romans 8, verse 31. Let's start there. He says, what shall we say? Well, go back to 8:28. He says, for we know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the what?
Image.
There's that word. Of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let me talk about firstborn. To be born, you have to do what?
Die.
See, now he has... Planet, yes, you have to be planted in the likeness, but he's already born one time, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He dies, and then God says, this day thou art my son. Wow. The resurrection. And he says, you're the firstborn among many brethren. He says, where are we? 30. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's your position. You know what? God looks at that and he says, you don't have to work up to this. He said, you're already there. You're already there to me. He says, I just need you to think like I think. And believe it. Get with the program. He says, now, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. There's that resurrection. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you know what he's saying? You might do something and you say, I can't believe you saved. Saved people don't do that. You know, we live in a lot of people, most religious people, they always say this, you shall know the tree by its fruit. They say that. They think about what you do.
Exactly.
Works. And they don't realize, it says, yeah, this tree has been produced after its kind. You're looking at the wrong tree.
Exactly.
This is a good tree. Because I know that this is from the seed of a good tree.
You know, that's the separation is, I cut in, but that is the separation, knowing that, hey, I'm supposed to at some point be aiming to walk in my vocation. But if you see me slip, hey, it's the flesh.
That's, and you know what? He wants you, you know what? Just keep your mind focused. Keep it focused. He just said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? When he puts all this into us to ensure the inheritance. He's going through, you can't go through any greater length than that, to ensure that. And he gives you, he listed, he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ?
So
he said that. You know what? That one there? That one there? It's mine. What? But did, yeah, I saw it.
I think about that lady that came here that night, sat over there. She just couldn't get past that verse. Remember her?
I do.
Because in her mind,
Miss Coleman,
it was.
Yeah, that's who it was.
That's the one you can call.
Yeah, well, it was like. Well, yeah, I love them, but they do all this other stuff, and it's like there was a disconnect.
You know what? You can't if you don't have these verses as background, you can't do that much jumping. That's a great faith, great leaps.
Well, it was like she was saying, yeah, he loves me, but I'm just going to hell. You know, yeah, if I do these things, he just, you know.
We don't give ourselves time enough to marinate in this. It's like I was asking you all in the beginning, for myself. I just didn't get it until I just started, you know, just really not so much digging, but just marinating in it. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, sometimes your belief system just don't cut on like that.
It's a traditional man getting in the way.
It's because the whole world is pressing into taking you in a different direction, whether it's society, whether it's the church, whether it's anything, and you have to cut that off and believe this.
And that direction is you, because what Frank's just saying is we're all focusing that dot right there, that's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the opposite of that is, no, what did you do, or what have you done, mm-hmm. or I saw what you did.
Right.
And that's taking you away from Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Because what we do is say, well, I got there.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got here. But when he says no, he says, I made you this.
Because upon that board, I would much rather that my name be where Ann's name is.
First.
It's all there, though. It's all the same.
Well, I'm at the bottom.
Yeah, we have that. Yeah.
Right, that's us.
Right, that is us. And that's what, that's part of your renewing process. Every, when Paul goes through those books, the thing you have to get is this. He says, we're all working together.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I have to get rid of you. And that's what he does. He says, I have to kill Blake. And with all his desires and lusts and affections,
uh-huh.
he says, I want that man totally committed to me and my purpose. And he said, that comes with transformation. And like you, if you don't spend time hearing from him, you can't be transformed. I don't care how sincere you are. It just does not.
By osmosis.
You're being conformed.
You can't just sit next to the book and have it.
Yeah,
no.
So many believers, it's just amazing to me, because it's like I run into some. It's like they've got enough faith to believe that Christ died on the cross and was buried and resurrected to save them. So they've got enough faith that he saved them. They don't even have enough faith in him for their everyday life. It's like, will you just put them on a back burner? Okay, check. I'm in
now. It's kind of churches too.
So it's, there's
it's growth. It's growth.
The spirit and the
I mean, when you think about it, what really affects your growth? You. What affects your growth?
How I spend my time. Everything.
You. Just you. Because I can say this here. I will spend 2 hours in a real estate book when I leave here. You know, just being honest, then when I really should be getting close.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But that's where I'm at. And I know that, but it's going to take me to want him.
That's it. It's all, no, that's the thing about grace. He says, listen, all your obstacles, he says, I moved them out of the way. He just said, if he did this while we were reconciled to his son, and then he says, okay, now what?
The only obstacle is you.
He says, you're the enemy. Enemy. You're the holdup.
Mm-hmm.
You're the holdup. And it's just the, as time progresses, as you hear more from him, then that's when you start to take more steps toward him. Is try it your way for a while. And you see how, you know, it doesn't quite work out like you would like. And you know what? You keep going and you just keep growing. You know what? We haven't gotten there. But Paul said to the Corinthians, when he finishes up with the Corinthians, after he tells them everything that God has done, he goes, tries to get them on the same page, working with God, talks about the resurrection, what's in store. Look at 15. He tells them that this process and how it'll end up.
I'm sorry, where are we going?
First Corinthians.
Okay.
And we'll find out next week what he says. That time.
All right, so for reference,
our time is up.
Start next week. Behold, I show you.